In this moment, your life changes for the better. We're beginning a program, and I've chosen to call it the Prosperity Pathway, because that's exactly what it is. If you're walking along a path, you put one foot in front of the other, and you get to a destination. So all of you have achieved some level of what we would call success. You're at a place in your life, I'm guessing, where there's lots to appreciate. There, if you decided you were just going to spend the next 10 minutes in gratitude, I'm sure there's a great deal that you could find that you would say, I'm very thankful for this. However, there's also what we will learn to call your circle of discontent. That doesn't mean life is miserable. It doesn't mean you're discontent all the time. It means that in your present situation, in your current life, if you look around you, there are some things that you'd like to change. This is human nature. So very often we set a goal, and we achieve the goal, and we feel good in the moment we achieve the goal. But once we're there, perspective changes, and we realize this isn't as great as I thought it would be, and thus a little discontent pops up. Personal trainers are notorious for pursuing client after client after client after client after client, thinking the dream is to be really busy. But then you get to the place that you have client after client after client after client, and you go, this sucks, I have no life anymore. So we can be thankful that we were able to get all of those clients and we're getting some income. But we find discontent in our schedule. There are times that we go through a process of stepping up, getting some continuing education, deciding we're going to charge a little bit more. And we invest time and money in additional certifications and additional classes. And we charge a little bit more. But then we get to a place where we feel like for all the work we're doing, this is not fair reward. We should be making more. We shouldn't have financial stress. So that becomes a part of your circle of discontent. There are times we have this vision of what it will be like to open our own studio. And then you get there, and you can be thankful. But there are things that come along with it that you don't love, like payroll. And I don't know why that's such an issue for so many trainers, but I hear it frequently. They hate payroll. Or the client that keeps you there until 10:30 at night when you'd really rather be home with your family. Or the little headaches like the roof leaks or the electric goes out. So we have gratitude, and let's hold on to that because that's going to be a very, very important resource for you. But we also have to acknowledge our discontent. I'm going to tell you right now, every single one of you is going to change mindset. And 3 days from now, your mindset will be different than it is even in this moment. But I don't want you to mistake that for positive thinking. That's not what this is. Positive thinking is at times denial or illusion. For example, you're stuck in your circle of discontent. If you were able to complain out loud, you would. And somebody goes, hey, how you doing? And you go, great, because you think that's positive thinking. But we're going to confront the circle of discontent. We're going to hit it head on. So this is not thinking that everything is magical. In fact, this is the opposite. This is thinking that the magic is within you. And a part of that magic is you have the power to change things. It's really interesting that in today's handout, and I hope you have the handout. If you don't, at the Facebook page on the left-hand side, there should be something that says notes, and you'll be able to download the handouts there. If you don't have in front of you right now, that's fine. If you can get it quickly, you may as well. But in the notes, I started out by saying that the field of personal training may have grown out of the most noble pursuit among healers, because all of us get into this field because we want to help people. And it's naive to believe that we're really helping them by taking them through workouts. If we're really going to help people, the way we help them is we empower them to make change. So you understand the concept of empowering people to make change. That's exactly what I'm going to do for you. Part of what we run into is the personal training, we'll call it an industry, did not come out of a place where a group of personal trainers said, let's figure out how we can be of extreme value to people and find prosperity in that process. That's not how it came out. It came out of the health club field. The health club field had what they called trainers or floor trainers, and I'm talking about 30, 35, 40 years ago. And the floor trainers would walk around and clean machines and show people how to use the equipment, because health clubs were very sales-oriented, and they'd have people who come in their new workout clothes, and they'd stand there like idiots because they didn't know what to do. And they would start bothering the salespeople. No, no, we'll hire trainers, but we'll pay them minimum wage because they're not really important to us. And if one quits, we'll get another one. They're like shark's teeth. One falls out, we just get another one. Requirement, they have to look good in the company shirt. We'll put a logo on them, they'll look good. We'll put them through some kind of silly three-day training. That's where it started. So it started out of an industry that completely devalued the personal trainer. Now, since that time, mainstream universities came out with curriculums like exercise physiology and kinesiology. The certification industry grew. Some certifications developed with greater prestige than others. They became somewhat important. And personal trainers got to a place where they could get paid more than minimum wage. But the goal of the health club was to pay the trainer as little as possible. So we entered a noble pursuit that grew out of the greed of the health club field. So now we're at a place that we take pride in what we know. We take pride in our abilities, but we've never been given permission to prosper. If you meet a doctor and you're told that he earns $750,000 a year, you're probably not surprised by that. If you connect with a personal trainer and you're told that he earns $40,000 a year, you're probably not surprised by that. But there's a very wide gap. Now, clearly, the doctor went to far more schooling than the personal trainer. And I'm not suggesting you should earn as much as every single doctor. But we're going to talk about some concepts beginning today. One of them is money, and another one is value. And at least in some cases, I can make the point that you are of greater value to many people than many of their doctors. So why can't we earn what the doctor earns? Well, we can. So why do so few in our field do that? Because they never got permission. What do I mean by that? I mean, when a doctor goes to medical school, they're not doing it for the money, I promise you this. I have worked with doctors hand in hand, side by side for the last 10 years. None of them went to medical school for the money. They had hopes of making a good amount of money, of being financially secure, but they went to medical school really because they wanted to help people. Honestly, that's why they all went to medical school. But when we put things in perspective, they worked a lot harder than you had to make it through their education. And along the way, they do an internship and they do a residency, and they're stepping into an industry where it costs $5,000 for an MRI and it costs $7,200 for a procedure. So the industry gives them permission to charge those rates, and nobody questions it. Now, I don't want to get into how corrupt it has become with insurance and the drug companies, but I want you to simply understand the concept of permission. Nobody ever gave you permission to earn $200,000 a year, $400,000 a year. I will open that door for you, and ultimately you can give yourself that permission because everything's about to change. But you have to realize that if it's going to change financially, then you have to be an outlier, using a term Malcolm Gladwell coined. You have to be an outlier. You can't be just like every personal trainer and earn as the top doctors. You have to separate yourself. Some ways in the real world, but mostly in terms of mindset. You have to be something greater. In a moment, I'm going to open it up for any thoughts, questions, or comments, so I want you to feel free to share anything, even if it's just you agree or you disagree with anything that I'm saying. But we're going to make that change beginning now. Now, in the handout, I also told you what this program is not, but let me review it. This is not a course where I'm just going to throw wild ideas at you. This is not a course where somebody shares something with me and I go, hey, great, let me share it with the trainers. This is based on actuals. This is based on strategies. This is based on performance. Everything that I share with you, I've done myself. Everything I share with you, I've coached people through. Everything I share with you works. This is not a way to make money overnight. This is a way to increase your value and get paid in line with the value you deliver. This is not a take a few steps and there's passive income flowing in. You're going to work, but you're going to love the work you do and you're going to be rewarded for it. More than anything else, this is a revelation of a power that you already have. Nobody has ever given you permission or the mindset to be all that you're capable of being. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before I go on about anything? And start by just introducing yourself with your name and saying where you're from. And don't, please, 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 don't think that the whole idea here is you're going to sit and listen, because the more I get to know you, the more I can coach you through this process. I will coach you as a group, but the more I get to know you, and that's my intention, the more I can personally guide you. We have 11 days together, which may not seem that long, but believe me, I'm pretty good at this stuff, and I care, and I'll listen, and I will coach, but you got to let me know you're out there. So who wants to start out? Just introduce yourself and give us a thought, comment, question about anything.
Hey, Jason Morgan, Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm excited about this. This is a great timing for me as I'm literally in the middle of construction in a brand new 9,000 square foot facility for me. Very odd situation on how it happened, but it could, you know, this couldn't have come along at a better time for me.
Jason, thank you for posting the video. Those of you who haven't, please do. The video just needs to be less than a minute, but it's kind of a snapshot, a living snapshot of where you are now. That's all I'm looking for. I want you to just document a moment in time. So 11 days from now, you'll be able to look back and go, wow, I can't believe how much has changed. So thank you for sharing that. And I love seeing the new facility under construction. When is it actually going to be operational?
We're operational now. I mean, I literally became operational 48 hours after we moved. It was a weird situation where I was in a medical mall and the doctors decided they wanted me gone. It was a learning experience for me as far as leases go and what can happen in the state of North Carolina and how a contract may not necessarily protect you. But it ended up being a blessing in disguise. So we've moved over right now. We're in the process of, you know, plumbing out showers and getting vinyl graphics and stuff up, but we have combined with a couple other trainers in the area to where I have sort of absorbed their business but still allowing them to be operational. So it's going to be unique because it's something that I've never done before. And, of course, you know, if we think back 12 years ago, I'm sure you remember the day I broke down and cried and thought I was going to lose my business. Now here I am 22 years.
I do, Jason, and you know why that's extremely valuable, not only to you, you know why it's valuable to you, but when other trainers look at a guy who owns a 9,000-square-foot facility, here's what they decide. Oh, he must have had money. Oh, he must have gotten money from his parents. Oh, he had some advantage. Oh, he had a backer. Oh, this was easy for him. This is what other people will decide. Now, you don't have to defend it in the real world. Let people think what they think.
Right.
But in a group like this, it's going to be really valuable for others to know where you came from. And I'm sure, without you having to answer this, there's a new circle of discontent, and you're going to rise above. But it's valuable for everybody to know that any success came from humble beginnings, especially in this field. And I have now coached over 1,500 people through my Be Better program, and it's incredible to see how far they've come over a period of time. So I know this is a launch for the people in this group. So, Jason, as we go forward, I may bring you back to that time 12 years ago, not to make you cry, but to kind of lay out for everyone else how you can get there by sometimes putting your head down and just going through what seems to be a wall and coming out the other side, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you have to make a decision, and I joke about this now, but I was willing to you know, do whatever it took. I mean, whether, if I had to eat ramen noodles for a month, or I had to move back into my parents' house, or, you know, whatever I had to do. And I mean, there were two marriages that were failed marriages that, you know, when I realized that we were not going in the same direction, you know, I had to make a decision. And those are not easy decisions to make. But you have to decide what it is that you want out of life. And you can't make other people happy. You have to be happy with yourself. And once you find that you do that for yourself, then you're going to do it for others.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm going to tell you what we call what you just described. We call it at all costs. And when you said decision, when you make the decision that you will make your dream come true at all costs, that's when it becomes a certainty. That doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean you don't hit obstacles, but it means it happens. So remember those words, at all costs. Most of us, if we're asked, why did you get into this field, we're going to use the word love or passion. We're going to go, I love it because I have a passion for fitness. I love helping people. And I really do believe that that's why everybody got into this field, but I also know that within your circle of discontent, some of the things you do are not necessarily out of love, they're out of obligation. We're going to change that. When you started in business, everything was out of passion. When you started your business, things went wrong, things happened that you didn't expect, but you came out the other side because you had this frenetic energy because you loved what you were doing. And we're going to reconnect with that passion and that desire. And even if you tell me, oh, it's still there, I'm telling you it's been swallowed up a bit. And if you don't believe me now, I'll show you. And then we're going to bring it back. So know that from this moment forward, everything you do related to your business should be out of love or passion all over again. What we once did because it was passion at a certain point becomes work. That's natural. It's what we do for a living. But work can and should be fun. I really mean it, fun. We have this tremendous advantage that we chose our career out of something we truly love. So when you get stuck, because this is what happens, we pursue an outcome and then obligations show up and then we get stuck and there comes a time that our business starts to run us and it's really not fun anymore. We do it because we have to. We need to change that. This 11 days is going to reconnect you with a very high level of fun. Now today, all I'm going to really do is lay out some foundations. Tomorrow, we're going to get heavily into mindset, and I think you're going to really like that. So right now, I'm just going to give you a little primer, a little preliminary lesson, so when we get into mindset, you'll understand, at least at a baseline level, the words that I'm using, the terms that I'm using. You guys are all very grounded in the physical. You can identify an imbalance between quadriceps and hamstrings, and you know how to fix it. You'll train the antagonist harder. If somebody's lacking in a certain area, you know how to fix it. If somebody needs improvement with posture and balance, you know how to fix it. The solution is always physical. We're very grounded in the physical. So for me, learning about mindset was challenging because it wasn't physical, it was intangible. Until I learned something that really changed everything about the way I learned. A thought is physical. We think of a thought as just this abstract thing that happens between our ears, and I'm telling you this, a thought is physical. Neurons connect. Dendrites form bridges. There's a physical action going on. Tiny, we can't see it. But once we realize it's physical, we then realize we have the power to affect it. So we can change mindset, but we have to understand, I'll use a metaphor here, the working muscles. They're not truly muscles, but just as I said, there can be an imbalance between hip flexors and hip extensors. There can be an imbalance between the emotional experiential memory and the prefrontal cortex. So I'm going to introduce you to those terms. Those of you who have been with me through a Be Better course have heard them before. This will be a good review. The EEM is the emotional experiential memory. At this point, you are free to take notes or scribble on the handout. The EEM is the emotional experiential memory. We will talk more about that tomorrow. The EEM has a simple function, protection. it keeps you safe. This is very important if you plan on surviving. So assuming that you have the simple goal of surviving beyond tomorrow, you need your EEM. Otherwise, you will do very stupid things that will be life-threatening. If when you were a child, you went to pet a puppy and it bit you, then you may have a fear of dogs. It's not rational, but it is your EEM because your EEM linked up dog equals pain, dog equals danger, and it will keep you away by creating a fear response. So the EEM is not rational, but it will try to keep you safe. So understand this for now. If you ever set out to become an entrepreneur and you invested the little bit of money that you had and you put in blood and sweat and tears and energy and effort and it didn't go well, then the next time you try an entrepreneurial venture, the EEM will raise the fear response and hold you back. I'll tell you something interesting. There are a lot of people who signed up for this course and then they received an email from me giving them the terms and conditions, and a part of it was you have to make a video, and they backed out. Rational? No. Everyone has a phone. They could make a video in 30 seconds. But it's fear. It's the EEM. For some reason, whether they think they'll be embarrassed, they think it won't be good enough, it scares them away. So you need to know your EEM is there, because if it is a very strong muscle metaphor, then it is restricting you. So we need to loosen the restraints of your EEM. The antagonist of the EEM would be the prefrontal cortex. It's a part of the brain. And the PFC, prefrontal cortex, is where we create possibility. So if I say to Jason, picture yourself getting on a giraffe and flying to the moon, he can do that. I don't mean he can really do that. I mean he can picture it. But the only way he can picture it is by going into his prefrontal cortex. So if you're ever going to envision an outcome that hasn't happened yet, you've got to go into that part of your brain. And if you don't work that part of your brain, it weakens. To be more accurate, the wiring to your PFC breaks apart. So it takes energy for many people to start to envision a different outcome, to start to imagine a different future. But if you really want growth, this becomes vitally important in terms of changing your programming. A third element of mindset is the RAS. You've heard of the reticular activating system. It is what controls your focus. And the truth is, most of us allow our RAS to program itself. So it's almost like if you got in your car and said, okay, GPS, where do you want to go? So if you want success, we first have to figure out what that word means to you. And then we have to literally plug that into your internal GPS system, which is your reticular activating system. So these become muscles or players in changing your mindset, and I'll show you how to do it flawlessly. There is one other part of the brain I want to mention. It is called the nucleus accumbens. It is the addiction center of the brain. It is where dopamine spurts happen. When somebody starts to develop a cocaine habit, every time they ingest cocaine, every time they snort cocaine, they get a dopamine spurt and they feel great for a short period of time. Because that dopamine was brought about by something exogenous, something outside of themselves, the dopamine spurt is synthetic and it is followed by a dopamine drop. So they create this cycle in the nucleus accumbens where they feel good, they feel bad. They do something to feel good, they feel rotten. They do something to feel good again, they feel miserable. So this doesn't sound valuable until we learn that when you learn something that you love, if it's playing the guitar, if it's playing golf, if it's playing the saxophone, if it's anything that you are learning because you enjoy it, you get a dopamine spurt and you don't get the drop, and it enhances learning. And this is why I say when you bring in passion and fun, your brain starts to create the chemicals that cement the good wiring. So EEM, emotional experiential memory, limits you. PFC, prefrontal cortex, it's our seat of adventure or imagination. RAS, the reticular activating system, it is our ability to focus. Nucleus accumbens is where we create habits, habitual behaviors. We're going to talk about those tomorrow, but at least now you have a background. I'll also talk about the concept of willpower. People talk about willpower as if some people have it and some people don't. And years ago, I started studying psychology because I thought it would help me learn to influence people. And I learned about Sigmund Freud and B.F. Skinner and Pavlov's dog, and none of it taught me how to influence people. It wasn't until I found the work of William James that I started getting some ahas. And William James coined the phrase willpower. And in essence, he said, we all have will. Every single one of us has will. How do we know? Because when you're hungry, you go get food. How do you do it? You contract a whole lot of muscles. You locomote. You move somewhere. You use your hands. But these are not individual thoughts. You just will it to happen, and somehow you get yourself to the food. So we all have will. When you have to pee, you don't typically pee on the floor. You go to a bathroom. You find the toilet. How? You will it, and your body goes. So we all have the power of will. It's just a question of what we learn to link it to. And when you change the wiring of your PFC and your EEM, you change the power you have over your will. So we all have will power. We just have to reprogram to access it better. Somebody sounds like they have a little bit of noise in the background. If you know who you are, hit star 6. If you're not sure and it might be you, hit star 6. I'm going to be quiet because some of you are going to hit star 6 right now just for about 10 seconds. Please do. Okay, I'm going to mute everybody, and then you'll hit star 6 to unmute if you want to ask a question or comment. Another term that's going to become very important, and this is what we're going to talk about day 3, is creative tension. This is the force that will drive you to make your dreams come true. So in simple terms, if you are now in what I'm calling your circle of discontent, your life now, with those elements that you're not thrilled about, and you can strongly envision a future. Right now, I'm going to call it a future memory, and I will explain that later on Wednesday. If you can create an imagined future, and we can separate those two, we can go, here's my present, and we'll put it in a circle, and here's my future, and we put it in a frame. The gap between those two, the gap between the circle and the framed future, is creative tension. So let's imagine the framed future up in the sky and the circle on the earth. And let's attach them in our minds with a bungee cord. That bungee cord has tension in it. And if you can activate what we're calling creative tension, it literally pulls you with momentum toward the outcome. Conversely, if you look at that envisioned future and you go, no way, I can't, that'll never happen, then the bungee cord snaps. So I'm going to teach you to utilize this invisible but extremely powerful force called creative tension. Quick review of things I already mentioned. Today, I'm just laying the foundation. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about mindset in greater depth. And on the third day, we're going to get into creative tension and actually set it in motion. If you have your handout in front of you, the third page has 5 sections to it: money, value, promise, offer, and outcome. Here's where we're going right now. Personal trainers have an interesting emotional dynamic related to money. I know this because I've been in this field a long time. I've been a personal trainer for a long time. I've worked with personal trainers for a long time. I know the personal trainer. I know you guys, even if we've never met before. And personal trainers often justify by saying, well, I'm helping people. They'll look at someone else and they'll go, well, yeah, I went to school with him, and yeah, he's making a fortune in driving a Ferrari, but I'm helping people. So there's somehow a justification, meaning I'm not making that kind of money, but who wants to do that? Because that's just about fancy things. I care about people. It's a statement used to protect your ego. It's a statement to justify the reality that you're not making as much money as perhaps you could, or let's take it a step further, as much money as you deserve. So we form associations. We start to go, well, money's not everything. Well, it's not. It's not everything, but I'm going to tell you this. It gets you a lot of things. And I don't only mean material things. I mean, if you have the power to change the world, money helps. If you want to be an altruist or a philanthropist, money helps. And if you want to take your family on vacation, then money is necessary. So you've got to stop the justification, and you've got to change your wiring toward and about money. And when I talk about money in this program, we're going to talk about it in two regards. One is the money you generate, which would be your income, money that comes to you. This relates to your fees, to what you charge, to the number of clients that you see in a week, to your policies related to cancellation. It all affects your income. And I would guess, if I surveyed you individually, everyone here would welcome more income. But in order to make that simple, and it will become simple, you've got to get rid of those blocks. You've got to get rid of the idea that it's uncomfortable to ask for money. And I know some of you want to hang up right now because you hate that thought. But it's the fact that you hate that thought that reveals the wiring that is limiting you in terms of your income. So if we look at income, I'm telling you it is variable and changeable immediately. You don't have to wait on that one. The second element of money is, we talk about financial security or freedom, is what you do with the money that you're not going to spend. And unfortunately, many personal trainers don't have money they don't spend. They have debt on the other side of that. So you quickly want to get to a place where you have a bank account at the very least that starts to accumulate savings. And ideally for most of you, you'll have at least two bank accounts, one your business bank account and two your personal bank account. Because here's the dream. Your business becomes the source of your prosperity. You'll hear me say that many times. If you are your business and it all funnels through the same bank account, you're a slave to every one of your clients. And that wasn't the vision when you first started. Your business should become an entity separate than you. You own the business. You created the business. But you are not the business. The business, in a sense, feeds you. The business doesn't run you. The business feeds you. So when we talk about money, we're going to talk about income and savings. Today, what I'm going to ask you to do, a couple of things. One is I'm going to ask you to complete a survey, a questionnaire. It'll literally take you 8 minutes. I want you to be really thorough. Don't just zip through it. I'm really looking for answers here. So there should be a link posted in the group right now. I'll post it again. When we finish the call at some point today, just complete the survey. If you haven't posted your video, just do it today. But I'm also now going to ask you to write a sentence or two related to money in terms of what you want. And I know some of you will have a hard time with this, because you're going to want to say, I want to have $1 million in the bank, but you're going to go, no, I can't say that. That's silly. Why is it silly? I want you to go purely from a place of want. So I want you to make some statement in terms of desire in the group related to income. It can be, I want to double my income. I'm going to show everybody here how to double your income. If you're making $20,000 a year, I'll show you how to bring it to $40,000. If you're making $200,000 a year, I'll show you how to get it to $400,000. Honestly, you're going to learn how to double your income. So at the very least, know that's possible. If you have no idea what your income should be, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to show you in this 11 days how to get to $144,000 a year without that much work. So I want you to, in the group, just make a statement related to money. any statement, if you feel that your EM is so strong, then the statement can be, I can't even think about making more money. At least that. What I would really love is if you can put something in there that sounds like a financial goal. I would like you to use this page as a worksheet. I don't want you to invest a ton of time into it, but through the program, I want you to have an awareness of these five foundational areas. Money the first. Value is the second. Now, isn't value money? No. Value is importance. And too many people think they should charge what the market will bear. You may not say those words, but when you get your certification and you come into the world and you get clients, you look around what other trainers are charging and you go, oh, yeah, $75 a session. Why? Because in your mind, it's reasonable. So you're basing it on other trainers. You're basing it on the market. And the fact is, unless you want it to, or unless you allow it to, what other trainers charge has nothing to do with you. Not if you recognize value. After day three, we're going to change the focus from talking about you to talking about who your clients should be. And I want you to think about where you bring value. So let me give you an example. If you have a 32-year-old guy who is lean and muscular, and he says, I want to have a ripped six-pack. We have to look at the importance if we're going to determine the value of a personal trainer to him. In all likelihood, he knows his way around the gym. He has a pretty good sense of how to eat. How do we know that? Because he's in his mid-30s and he's lean. But he has this idea of getting ripped abs. So how important is it to him? And that will determine in part what he's willing to pay. Now let's look at a 45-year-old man who was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and is on cholesterol medication. He has two small children. He gets out of breath when he plays with them and needs to sit down. His wife makes little jokes, but he knows deep down there's some truth about him getting fat. Now, if we just look at those two individuals and we say, to which one does the personal trainer who can deliver the result have the greater value? It becomes pretty obvious. So just picking random numbers, if the guy who wants ripped abs can get a trainer for $35 a half hour who's going to give him a program that'll get him leaner, he would probably happily pay the $35. And if you told him it's $150, in his gut, he's going to go, it's not that important to me. I could spend $150 on other things that are more important to me. But if you talk to the dad who's in fear of his own mortality and compromised and doesn't feel good about himself, he's going to place a much higher value upon the personal trainer. So I don't care what the market will bear if you're just looking at other trainers. I care about the value you bring to the clients you choose. So value means importance. Value is a relative consideration. This is not about affordability. People can afford things. People who live in homes and can feed their family can afford things. They may not have as much money as they want, but they're affording their home and they're affording their food. So it becomes now a relative value. Which is more important, going out on the weekends or getting the personal trainer? And when you have a position of extreme importance to your client base or your prospective client base, you are extremely valuable, and that allows you to modify your fees. Next, we have promise. Promise is, what will you promise in exchange for payment? In other words, we're going to establish a fair value exchange. A client decides you are important enough so that they will part with money. What will you do? Now, if your answer is, I'll take them through workouts, that's a very weak promise. You know why? Because nobody wants to go through workouts. Will they go through workouts? Yes, if they believe it is a vehicle to get them what they want. Listen, nobody wants to run on a treadmill. They do it because they believe it will get them healthier or leaner or help them get rid of their gut. So if your promise is, I'll show up at your house or you come to my gym and I'll take you through workouts, that's fine, but it's not a really strong promise. Every personal trainer can make that promise. On the far end of that spectrum, if you say, I promise if you train with me, you will get the result you want, that's a super strong promise. Now, that's scary to most trainers. Why? Because of the EEM. There's fear. They go, oh, well, if I say that, then everyone's going to ask for their money back. Well, either that says something about your skills right now, or it's pure nothingness that you are creating as an imaginary outcome that really has never happened. So I want you to think carefully. If you want to separate yourself from the rest of the field of personal trainers, which you do, then you need to have a far greater promise, a much bolder promise. So we're going to get into this language as we get through this 11 days. Everyone here is going to say, here is my promise, and you're going to be able to state what your promise is. And if it's just, I'll show up and take you through workouts, I'm telling you, then this program will not serve you. If that's the way you come out of this 11 days, then you missed something. So I'm looking for a strong promise because you are better than most personal trainers. Your income has nothing to do with the rest of the field. Next is your offer. Your offer is really, if you do this, I will deliver on my promise, but you have to do this now. So the offer in a store might be 50% off if you buy today, 50% off if you buy another item of the same type, right? That's an offer. So the offer is, in this moment, getting somebody compelled to act. If you meet somebody and you have a conversation and you don't have an offer, then the conversation ends with, here's my card, or give me your number, or let me get your email list and I'll send you my newsletter, or go to my website. And then you call and they don't answer. And then they don't call back. And then you try again and you catch them and they make some excuse. This doesn't need to happen if you have your offer and promise ready. One marketing directive. Everyone should get the same initial offer. Once you're connected, once money has changed hands once, now you can steer them whenever you want. So you want to have a consistent offer. At a time in my career, it was come to my group session Monday night is $20 with a money-back guarantee. Let me register you now. Everyone I'd meet, everyone who would call, every inquiry, that's what I did. I funneled them through. I called it my orientation. If your offer is, it starts with a $150 consultation, we could do it at your home or my facility, which would you prefer? Every time you reach the moment that somebody's compelled, you have to have your offer in your pocket. You don't want them to think about it. It's not that they're not going to think highly of you. It's just that, again, our mindset says we don't want to pressure them. But in the moment that you're talking to them, they are at the highest level of being compelled. If you're going to truly deliver value and you're willing to make a bold promise, then shouldn't they act now? So you've got to tell them what to act upon. It is the immediate call to action. And it should happen anytime. If somebody gives you a referral, as soon as you're talking to that referral, you're ready with your offer. If somebody inquires online, you're going to ask them for a time you can call them, and on the phone, you're going to make the offer. And right now, you can rationalize, which means you're telling yourself lies that sound rational. You can rationalize and go, oh, well, Phil doesn't understand. My people do think about it. You can come up with any excuse you want, but I am telling you with certainty when they are the most compelled is when they're talking to you. And when they are the most compelled is when they are most likely to respond. So you've got to be ready with a committal offer so they say yes, and now you have a client. And the last section here says outcome. In my Be Better program, in the first couple of calls, I ask the question, what do you want? And nobody can ever answer it. Now, by the time we get to month three, everybody tells me what they want. But at first, they can't. Why? Because they're blocked. Because there is a ceiling on our industry, and it's affecting our willingness to think beyond that ceiling. Because our EEM holds us back, and our PFC has not developed enough. So within you, you have a desire. Within you, you have a want. I'll talk to you tomorrow about Plato. He was a very smart man, lived a long time ago. But he identified elements of the human psyche that are very, very powerful in recognizing today. But we come to this place with want. We are driven by desire. We just get shut down because along the way, people tell us to be reasonable or have something to fall back on or stop dreaming. So we squash, we quiet, we bury the desire, we bury the want. So when somebody gets to be an adult, their desire has been pushed down. You don't believe me? Ask a child, what do you want? They will tell you. They'll go, I want to be a superhero. I want to be Thor. I want ice cream. I want Xbox. They'll tell you what they want. They won't hesitate. What else do you want? I want to be a cowboy. What else? I want to go to an R-rated movie. No, you can't go to an R-rated movie. But I want to. They know what they want. I want to drive. But you're only 7. But they know what they want. I want a puppy. You can't get a puppy. I want a puppy. They don't back down. When I ask an adult in business, what do you want? You know what? They tell me what they don't want. They will say, and I have all these calls recording, 15 years, it'd be better. Every time they tell me what they don't want. I don't want to have this mortgage. I don't want to have to worry about all these employees. I don't want my wife to have to work. I don't want to work so many hours. I don't want to drive so far to my clients' homes. They tell me what they don't want. So when we look at outcome, you're going to have to reconnect with your own desire. You're going to have to dig that mud out. You're going to have to raise that desire back up so it sits along what we'll call the psycho-spiritual line where it was intended to be. It's partially spirit and partially mind. So you're going to need to create your outcome. I can't do it for you. I'm giving you generalities saying you can increase your income, you can increase your savings, you can get what you want. But you're going to have to decide, what do you really want? And this is where the fun begins. Because when you release that desire, it's like the kid asking for the ice cream or the Xbox. It becomes fun. And the really cool thing is, you know who's in control of it? Not your parent, you. But you've got to start by identifying the outcome you really want. Not the one you think you should want, not the one that other people told you you should have because it's reasonable. What do you really want? So every day there's going to be a directive. The directives are not complicated. They will stretch you a bit, just a bit. And if you feel uncomfortable, that's your EEM. Because you don't yet have a reference for some of the things I'm going to ask you to do. So your EEM will go, oh, no, no, that will be bad. For example, I'm going to give you a heads up. Tomorrow, I'm going to ask you if you have clients that you charge by the half hour or hour to raise every client's rate by $4. We're not going to talk about that now. That's going to happen tomorrow. But I just want you to know the EEM will say, oh, no, you will lose all your clients. They're locked in at $65. They don't want to pay more. And I'm making you a promise. If your clients like you and you're effective, every single one will say, okay. So when I ask you to stretch, it's not really a massive stretch. It's just going to feel that way. But the trick is follow through on every single thing I ask you, even if it sounds absurd. So make the video and get it into the Facebook group. Complete the questionnaire, which the link should be posted in the group right now. And I want you to post something in the group related to money. Looking at this page, you can also continue that post and relate it to money, value, promise, offer, or outcome. You don't have to. At the very least, just relate it to money. It can be a single sentence if you want. But it is the follow-through, the participation, that is important. All right, I'm going to stay on the line up to another 10 minutes. Only if you guys have thoughts or comments or questions, I will open it up. So hit *6 to unmute. As of this moment, it is an open forum. You can share or ask anything. You're free to disagree with anything I said, or you're free to agree as well. But anything that's on your mind right now, if you want to spit it out, we have 9 minutes and 36 seconds left, so take advantage of this. *6, start by saying your name, where you're from, and then just fire away. *6. Remember this, the ones who speak up early on are the ones I get to know the best. The ones I know the best are the ones I take the greatest interest in. The ones I take the greatest interest in historically are the ones who achieve the greatest outcome. Go ahead.
Todd Elliott. Hey, Phil.
Hello, Todd Elliott.
Orlando, Florida. So since the last time we spoke, one of my dreams, just like a lot of guys, was to open a studio. Well, now, you know, present time, I want to get away from that and basically be an online coach. I know you're a smart guy, and that's why I'm on the call. But what you're going to teach us over the next 11 days, will that help me reach my goal to be an online trainer and get away from the gym?
Let me start by saying yes, but a lot more goes into it than just the single statement, Todd. First of all, I hear this a lot from people. They want to be an online trainer. So I'm not asking you to answer anything I say right now, but this will be food for thought. You have to start to create a future. So you are an online trainer. Don't answer it now. But what does that mean? What is your day like? Where are you? What is your career? What do you actually do for people? And what I find is many people have this vision of being an online trainer. It's out of fatigue. They're tired of working one-on-one with people. They're tired of traveling to people, one client after another. So there's this idea that it's simpler to sit at home. But many of them, when they start to get to a point that most of their work is online, they miss it. They're sitting home eating. They're snacking. Like, they're not getting the same fulfillment. So that's one thing to think about. Second thing to think about is it really sounds good, and a lot of younger trainers are coming into this idea, and they're charging a lot of money, but they're creating a service deficit. In other words, they're going, pay me $5,000, and I will train you for the next 6 months. And then 4 months into it, they have Skype appointment after Zoom appointment, and that in itself gets very fatiguing. And by the way, they don't even like many of their online clients, and they often create a very, very high volume once they get the hang of it. Also, it is rarely as rewarding. Even if you set up some kind of system where they're sending pictures and they're sending measurements, you know, the hugs that you get being a one-on-one trainer, the thank you changed my life, it's not quite the same. So you're going to have to think this through. What will life be like? Being an online trainer needs to be a vehicle. But what do you really want that's going to give you the juice? So if you get, or I should say, when you get to that thought process and go, Phil, here's what my future is. Here's how I'm going to live. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to look. Here's who's going to be around me. Here's how I'm going to feel. And by the way, my online training will be 3 days a week, 4 sessions a day, or whatever it is. Then the answer is absolutely yes. But you've got to crystallize that just beyond the I want to be an online trainer. Okay, so can you handle that as an answer for now, knowing we're going to dig much farther deeply into that?
Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Okay.
Food for thought.
And if I ever reveal myself to not be as smart as you thought I was, you'll let me know. For now, we're going with the premise I'm a smart guy. Okay?
True that. All right.
Thanks, Todd. Okay, somebody else. Introduce yourself and share anything at all.
This is Audrey.
Hello, Audrey.
Good. I did unmute myself correctly. I'm actually looking to be more of an online coach. And when I find, and the reason why is when I have people who come to me in my gym, whether I'm training them Skype or training them in person, and they want to get stronger or they want to improve bone density or they want to fix balance, they get the results they want. We work together and they get them. When they come to me for weight loss, it's like they think that they're kind of trained for 2 half-hour sessions a week and that's all they have to do. And I'm not getting the results because I'm not getting to – they're not open to hearing that they have to do something in their kitchen. As a coach, I want to address more of their total picture because the weight loss really it has to come from a couple of different places. It can't just be a half hour in the gym twice a week.
Audrey, I have a habit for telling people truth, and at times I offend people not intentionally. And I've had people get very offended and come back in 2 years and say, Phil, that was the best thing you ever said to me. But it took them a while to understand that. So I'm laying that framework now, just knowing that you have to have a thick skin but peel away ego. I'm not just saying that to Audrey. I'm saying that to everybody. And I just want you to think about this. In our field, trainers are very quick to blame. They go, people don't want to. People don't follow the nutritional advice. People don't do the workouts on their own. And you're creating a distinction saying, when I'm online, I'm a coach, but when I'm in person, I'm just taking them through workouts. And I'm suggesting you can change the way you interact with people, and you can wear the responsibility. I do. I take responsibility for every single one of my clients. Most trainers will go, I can't control what they do the rest of the time. I can't control what they eat. But here's what I could do. I can teach them what they need now. And then I could teach them something else once they got that down. And then I could teach them something else. So what becomes more important? The workout for the person who thinks all they have to do is show up twice a week, or spending a half hour educating them and helping them understand? At times, I will give people literally a 9-minute workout routine, I'm not exaggerating, that they can do at home. And I will spend the bulk of the time I spend with them teaching them what they have to do on a daily basis. So you can be a coach in person as well as online and get results for everybody. And here's what I'm going to propose. There should be a premium for seeing you in person. So I'm just going to pick random numbers. I don't know what you charge, but let's just say it's $65 for a half hour online, $125 for an in-person, because you're literally sitting there with them and assessing, and you can do a physical assessment. You can take pictures, and you can do body fat assessment. You can show them movements. You can check their form. So think of it a little broader than people don't, or if I do this, they don't, and change what you do. So I hope you received that well.
No,
I believe
hear,
you have a far
saying,
greater power than you are recognizing. Go ahead.
I'm thinking of the person who contacts me. My trainer at such and such place left. I'm looking for a new trainer. I just want this. And that's the person they want. That's the person that I find is a little harder, because they want the results, but they're putting down the parameters of what they want from
me. But let me tell you why. Because they're asking you for what they think they want from a personal trainer rather than what they want. Their last trainer gave them a very limited scope. You have to be something so radically different. So you could go, listen, if you think me working with you twice a week, and that's all we do, is going to help you lose weight, then you're going to get the same results you got with your last trainer, which you just told me was nothing. So if you want to work with me, we won't go that way. I will work with you as a coach, and here's the way we're going to do things. And if they go, no way, I just want somebody to take me through ineffective workouts twice a week so I stay fat, then you're going to go, God bless you, go somewhere else. But
yes.
If you develop a greater identity and a greater strength and you stand in it, you will see that people will respond. Now, keep in mind, we've been together for not even an hour. So right now, this is just a crazy guy ranting at you. But I'm going to ask at the very least for your trust, and you'll let me know as we go forward if this makes sense. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
And I'm still pending on the Facebook group, but that's probably because I was offline the weekend.
Okay. I will go on the Facebook group and accept anybody as soon as we finish this call. Anybody who's waiting to be accepted, as soon as we finish this call, I will accept you. Okay? Audrey included.
Thank you.
All right, can I get one more? Just one more introduction from somebody who wants to make themselves heard.
Mr. Phil, this is David Gomez from Corpus Christi, Texas.
Hello, David.
So I was stuck in a job that I really didn't like and was killing my spirit for the past year till I finally couldn't take it anymore. And I've always done personal training, but because of bills and responsibilities, I've always had to work. But I'm at a time right now where I'm actually just supporting myself, when I can take this risk and this challenge to actually go full time with my business, which is part personal training and also online coaching and maybe some online products as well. But I am nervous. I am scared. But I think just attending today has given me the confidence and courage to continue this and not give up until I actually succeed. So I want to thank
Beautiful.
You there.
David, I'm going to tell you this. You ain't seen nothing yet. We're only breaking the ice here. And when you say you had to because you had to pay the bills, you didn't really have to. You were stuck in a belief that made you think you had to. So I want you to realize that when you change that belief, you have a complete freedom. And the new belief has to be, I can pay all my bills being a personal trainer. I just have to do what it takes. And if you heard Jason at the beginning of the call and he said things like, hey, I don't care if I have to move back in with my parents. I don't care if I have to eat ramen noodles. And I said, that's at all costs. When you look at this and you weigh it out and you go, do I want to be in a job I hate forever because I think I have to, or am I willing to stretch and grow and do what I have to do? If you answer B, then there's no limit to what you're going to achieve. So I am very glad you're here. All right, I appreciate everybody being here. Good to meet those of you who step forward. I'm going to get to meet the rest of you. Post the video, complete the survey, and share a thought about money, and feel free to also add in anything you want about value, promise, offer, and outcome. We will speak tomorrow, same time, same number. Until we speak again, I'm glad you're here, and be better, everybody. Bye-bye.